Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Radio Intel Show. Happy August. Jay here with the crew, minus one, Pepe Farms and Demon Q6. BP is on. I don't know what he is. Pepe, good evening.
Good evening and happy August 2nd, everybody. Today marks the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the installation of lifelong dictators Napoleon and Hitler, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and Iraq invading Kuwait. August 2nd sure is a favorite for the false flag and dictatorship crowd, proving yet again that 1776 pissed off a lot of the powerful elites who still have a chip on their shoulder.
Very well put. Pepe, BP is lost in Neverland, or?
Yeah, I think he might be taking a couch nap.
Very well, very well. Demon 2-6, good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Jay. How are you doing tonight?
I am, as we always say, I'm on this side of the grass.
The correct side of the lawn. That's a good place to be for now.
Good to be back, guys. You know, this year has just flown by. I think so. What do you think, Pepe?
Oh, yeah, indeed. And what did you mean by for now there, Demon? Did you mean until it's time to dig the foxholes?
Yeah, something like that, man. Something like that.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you. Anyway, let's kick it off, guys. In sick as fuck news, now, and I was just telling the guys in pre-production that I've never heard of this person, so let's go on with it. Christine Chandler, born Christopher Chandler, and better known as the internet moniker Chris Chan, has been arrested following reports he admitted to engaging in sexual intercourse with his 80-year-old mother, who is widely believed to be suffering from some sort of dementia and thus may not have been able to consent. Chandler, who has been staying at a hotel in Richmond, Virginia, since police served him an order of protection preventing him from returning to his family home or having any contact with his 80-year-old mother, was recorded during a live stream by stream host Ralph Retort, editor-in-chief Ethan Ralph, being escorted away from the hotel in handcuffs by local police officers. It is unclear what, if anything, Chandler has been charged with. Numerous clips from the video have already surfaced on social media. Pepe.
Well, as John Tron said, the normies are about to wake up to a magical day they aren't ready for. Chris Chan, a.k.a. Christian Western Chandler, is a 39-year-old internet personality, originally famous for being trashed on Encyclopedia Dramatica in 2005. 5 years after releasing the webcomic Sonichu, a combination of Sonic the Hedgehog and Pikachu. Diagnosed as autistic after not speaking until 7 years old, Chris Chan left elementary school after claiming bullying by his teacher and principal and was suspended from Piedmont Virginity Community College for soliciting. Scandal erupted after a 10-minute segment of a 4-hour phone call leaked in which Chris Chan claims to have found his mom's G-spot after she made the first move. Chris Chan claims to believe he is a transgender lesbian, but it's reported that his followers and the transgender community do not believe he is, quote, really transgender. So it sounds like it might just be a mentally deranged person that's just crying out for help. But that wasn't the only person in time that he made those claims.
I'll tell you, I know Demon is... He probably will pass on this, but go ahead, Demon.
This guy's not crying out for help. This guy is a rabid dog. We need to stop. This guy apparently was raping an 80-year-old woman with dementia who was his own mother. These people need to just be taken out to an abandoned gravel quarry somewhere, put a .22 in the back of their head, and shove them off the cliff and leave them for the crows. This is ridiculous. This tolerating this kind of behavior is insane. No rational person would ever even consider something like this. And I'm going to be touching on this a little bit later, actually.
Well, you got my vote, buddy. I'm all in. You know. Okay, guys. This one, I mean, I had to make sure this was real, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And apparently it is. Michigan, 60% of deer have COVID antibodies, suggesting species will not be eradicated without vaccines. It appears that the white-tailed deer, otherwise known as white-tail or Virginia deer, will be spared from complete eradication due to COVID-19, as researchers claim that 60% of deer population in Michigan and surrounding area have been exposed to the dreaded COVID-19 virus, and 33% of such deer have antibodies for the virus, suggesting they recovered fully without a respirator, experimental therapy, or a vaccine. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal, Plant, and Health Inspection Service announced last week that more than half of the white-tailed deer living in Michigan have been exposed to COVID-19, according to the Daily Mail. While many experts fear that COVID-19 could spread in deer populations and somehow spread to vaccinated human populations, they seem to ignore the good news. White-tailed deer will not be eradicated by the Chinese virus. I am sure you guys are relieved that Bambi is safe.
Oh, I know, right? But interesting factoid, most animal deaths are caused by deer in the United States. But, I mean, people getting killed by animals. But I'm so sick of this virus crap. All they did was find fragments of DNA that's indistinguishable from dead tissue, from human, deer, banana, almost any living freaking creature. Having dead cell debris excreted from your body is a normal function of life, and it's not an indication of any pathogen. It's all bunk. Every viral pandemic I've looked into has contemporary and modern evidence of bacterial infection with insect vectors or known environmental poisonings as root cause.
Okay, I'm afraid to do this. Demon.
Just stop. Just stop. Okay, I live in Michigan, obviously. I've mentioned this many times. One, our huge hunting population is going to be relieved to know that all they have to do is eat venison this fall to get over the COVID. That's a good thing.
There you
are
go.
Are they going out and swabbing Bambi? Because I go for walks out in the woods all the time. I come across a dozen or more deer every time I go out there. It's just so laughable.
Are they wearing their masks?
COVID antibodies.
Are the deer wearing their masks?
No.
Oh, my
no,
God.
And they don't,
shoot them. Shoot them now.
They don't social distance either. I have come within 4 or 5 feet of a couple of the more docile ones, and they don't social distance. I've never had a deer say, hey, step back, 6 feet, 6 feet, you know?
Oh, dear.
Five antlers,
you know,
buddy. Five antlers.
You know, really, when I first saw the story, I'm like, is this real? Is this a thing? But apparently it is, right, Demon?
I haven't seen anything on it myself. This is my first seeing of this, but I will definitely look now, and I will be talking to my relatives and friends who hunt and letting them know that bag of deer, better than ivermectin, better than the death jab. Eat that venison, baby.
Right? More venison. All right, guys, this one's up. Trump told Pence and General Milley, you're all fucked up for refusing to use the military during the 2020 BLM riots. And, by the way, I 100% agree. According to the new book written by Washington Post reporters Carol DeLeon and Philip Rucker, President Donald Trump castigated General Mark Milley, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and Vice President Mike Pence for obstructing his push to use the military during the 2020 Black Lives Matter insurrection that ravaged American cities. How do you think this looks to other hostile countries, Trump inquired, according to the book, referencing the violent riots, looting, and destruction. They see we can't even control our own capital city and space around the White House, Trump drew comparisons to the race riots of the 1960s, according to the book. But Milley and Esper pushed back, with Milley allegedly gaslighting the president by telling him, Mr. President, it doesn't compare anywhere to the summer of 68. Not even close. Pepe.
Yeah, and remember, it's come out since then that the military was lying to Trump continuously with specific examples being the troop levels in Syria. And it was also reported a while ago that it came out that the military and Pence were lying to Trump, saying he had no authority to trigger the Insurrection Act. So it was a setup from top down, or from
I agree with that.
From second position down, I should say.
Right, right, right. Okay, Demon, this is in your wheelhouse. Go ahead.
I am at a temporary loss for words. Okay, I'm over it. The fact that our cities were burning and that the military was not called in, we called in troops at Kent State when a bunch of college students got rambunctious on a campus. Whole
sure did.
American cities were on fire last year, and these clowns didn't call in the military. This is sedition from top to bottom. It's 18 U.S. Code, Section 2383, I think, that defines sedition. I am aghast that our military command is this utterly and completely corrupt. I mean, I can vouch for the guys on the ground. I was one of them. I met maybe one or two in my entire 11 years of service that comes even close to this kind of BS. But at the command level, it's obvious that they're corrupt from top to bottom. We had a couple of incidents where when I was working in intelligence desk, we would report stuff and our command would twist the words and change it. So I can thoroughly believe that Milley was doing this stuff and that Esper was doing this stuff. There were a couple of incidents that happened overseas that I'm not at liberty to discuss, but I can tell you that when they started reporting them on the news, we started making phone calls saying, what the hell are you guys talking about? That's not how any of it went down. And we were told to shut up.
Well, you know, I remember when all this was going on, I was thinking, why the hell is Trump not using the military? Well, I guess now we know, Pepe.
Oops, yes. Sorry, on mute. Yes, exactly. The entire purpose of the Insurrection Act is to engage the federal forces when the state forces refuse to act, and that's what was happening. The state was not allowing, you know, the way it's supposed to work is that you can't use federal troops in the United States unless the governor of the state asks you to. But there's a fallback protection for when the governor of the state is corrupt, and that's the Insurrection Act.
Yeah, you have that there. Now, Dean, let me pick your brain. What would be the reason Milley would have pushed back on this so hard? I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you think, you know, I mean, was it to screw Trump? What do you think?
Having seen some of this corruption myself up close and personal, and I'm talking at a very high level that, again, I'm not at liberty to discuss, but it was really high up. A lot of these guys appear to be, it's political maneuvering on a lot of part of it, but these people are just corrupt and they believe that they rule, not lead. They really believe that they get to decide what happens in the United States of America. Constitution be damned. They're going to tell us what's real, what's not real. They're going to tell us how we can use our troops and can't use our troops. It's the sedition portion of it was not allowing the troops to be used to save the burning cities. The portion that I'm talking about is straight up treason. It's absolutely treason. They're working on behalf of foreign interests to stop the United States of America from protecting itself, which is the definition of treason, aid and succor to the enemy.
Now, back in your day, well, I guess all three of our days, as far as I know, and again, Demon, you're going to know more about this, the military didn't used to be so political. Am I correct?
You are correct. You are correct. I saw the change start to take place around 2002. I got out in 2005. But when I first entered, we weren't even allowed to discuss political stuff when we were in uniform. It was just verboten. You did not do it, and you would get your ass handed to you if you tried. to the point where I was at a barbecue on the DMZ with my company in an infantry unit, and Congress had announced that they were going to freeze the budget and not pay the military. And they've done this several times over the years. They always end up working it out. But I said, well, we should just march 2nd Infantry into Congress and lock them down until they pay us. And one of my sergeants lit me up one side and down the other until another sergeant said to him, I don't think Private Steve is going to march the 2nd Infantry over the Pacific Ocean and across the U.S. to take over Congress. So,
yeah, everything now is political, which, you know, well,
yeah.
Anyway. Let's move on,
yeah.
Shall we, guys? Representative Marjorie Greene, or Taylor Greene, sorry, guys, claimed on Twitter on Saturday that the jail which she and other congressmen attempted to visit housing the January 6th prisoners has now been put in lockdown. Oh, what a coincidence. Representative Greene, along with congressional colleagues, Representative Paul Gosar, Matt Gaetz, and Louis Gohmert, have all been looking into the cases of treatment of prisoners from the January 6th protests, which many cases of abuse being alleged and documented. Now, the National File has been reporting on this a lot, on the abuse conducted against the locked up in relation to the protests, including claims they have been coerced into getting the COVID-19 vaccine to avoid inhumane treatment.
Yeah, they're acting like the Congress people just showed up there unannounced, but they sent a letter of intent to inspect a week in advance to the DOJ and the warden of the jail or whatever position that is, and they were never responded to. So that's why they showed up, and the lockdown was obviously an abusive measure taken against the defendants.
Yeah, and again, we're in your wheelhouse, Demon.
Well,
you know, go ahead.
I watched the video of Greene and the others going to the jail where those prisoners are being kept, those political prisoners are being kept. The guards locked all exterior doors and refused entry to representatives and members of Congress. They are refusing access to prisoners for no reason at all. And now we're here and they're locking these people down. I'm imagining that probably means solitary confinement. This is exactly the kind of crap you read about the Soviet when it first started in 1918, 1920. This is the kind of stuff that I heard from North Korean refugees, prisoners being locked away and nobody could get to them. This is happening in the United States of America. Political prisoners that are being held completely in the dark. Nobody can get to them. Nobody can talk to them. They're not being allowed to communicate in any way, shape, or form. This is, I'm staggered by this. I'm absolutely staggered.
And remember, it's the same system that didn't kill Epstein himself.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you got me on that one. Let me assume that these people have no bond. Is that correct, guys?
They've refused bond repeatedly.
But if you are Antifa or BLM and you burn down a city, you get out of jail free.
Released on bail immediately.
Not quite the same. The DA doesn't press charges.
Oh, even better. Good Lord. What the fuck? All right, guys. Dateline Florida, DeSantis bans masks in school, says CDC shows callous disregard for children's welfare. Florida governor, my governor, God love him, Ron DeSantis has issued an executive order banning masks in schools. He slammed the CDC's recommendation in favor of them, saying it showed organization had callous disregard for the physical, emotional, and academic well-being of children. DeSantis issued the order on Friday, this past Friday, which noted that forcing children to wear masks in schools may lead to negative health and social ramifications, and could also inhibit breathing, lead to the collection of dangerous impurities, and adversely affect communications in the classroom and student performance. He also argued that there was no statistically significant evidence that would show that mask mandates affected the rate of coronavirus. And he is under heavy fire by people outside the state of Florida. Pepe, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. If he doesn't allow forced jabs, I wonder when the mysterious governor deaths start.
Oh, that's a good point.
No, you have it there. Demon, go ahead, buddy.
Well, this is you guys are trying to rile me up today. You're trying to rile me up. I'm going to smash all the things.
I'm telling you, when I got into the show today, that exactly was my goal.
I will make you pay. I have several buddies who are police officers, and they tried to get me to become a cop after I got out of the service. I can't, because I have a real serious problem with anybody who harms defenseless people, the elderly, women, or children. I don't know that I could physically control myself. That our children are being abused like this absolutely sends me into just an insane rage. I am so tired of hearing it. It's exhausting sometimes because I know what needs to be done. I'm capable of doing what needs to be done, but I have this allergy to orange jumpsuits, stale bread, and 6x8 cells.
No, I'm with you, buddy. It saddens my heart when a child is hurt or an older person is abused or whatever the case may be, because, you know, you didn't get to live to 80 to be killed, raped, maimed, mugged. And I just have a hate in my heart, Pepe, for people like that.
I know what you mean. And just a couple of days ago, there was a story of the former police chief who was fired and prosecuted for beating to within an inch of his life the man who drowned his six-month-old daughter to make Christmas easier. So, yeah, it happened.
You know what, guys?
Oh, the police officer
drowned?
Beat the guy to death?
Almost, yeah.
Good.
We're honestly drowning the wrong people, if you ask me, Demon.
Here's the quote. Upon returning to the police precinct, prosecutors said the former police chief threw a handcuff to Zora Kelly to the ground, punched him, and said, "You deserve to die." Absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Yeah, that's exactly my mentality. That's what I'm talking about right there. I wouldn't be able to control myself with a guy who just murdered a child. I wouldn't be able to control myself.
No, yeah. You know, and there was a story not too long ago here in Florida, but I think it was an 88-year-old woman raped in her home. I mean, what? Oh, let's not get up on it. Anyway, all right, let's go.
Christian out on a date.
What's that?
That was Christian out on a date.
This was a different one, but anyway. All right, guys, new videos of Martin. Do I need to stop for a minute, Demon? New videos emerging online appear to show Capitol Police inciting violence on January 6th by shooting flashbangs into what was then a peaceful crowd. The video shows them tear-gassing protesters and beating up Trump supporters. The seemingly proactive actions by law enforcement in those moments appear to have set off the crowd, who in turn shouted explosives and grew more aggressive in reaction to the flashbang tear gas and the beatings. This combined with what appears to be undercover federal actors posing as Trump supporters, instigating and participating in violence, could possibly explain why the crowd became increasingly violent as the day went on. Pepe.
Yeah, and they killed Roseanne Boylan. Philip Anderson, you may remember him, the black Trump supporter Antifa knocked the teeth out of, was holding her hand as she died, being crushed to death by the crowd, being attacked by the police. So by the Charlottesville metric, the police are Nazis.
You know, that whole January 6th thing, I'm telling you what, Demon, they're trying to wash it up and go ahead.
Well, again, I'm left speechless here. These are our police. We spent all last year and a couple of years prior to that, back the blue, back the blue. Now these police officers are coming out doing that. I remember when January 6th happened, seeing videos, and I could clearly identify police firing into the crowd that was stationary at the time. They were not rushing the doors. They were just kind of parked on the steps, and the police began firing into them. All of a sudden, all of those videos just disappeared. Apparently, they're now resurfacing. But I remember on that day watching it going, what the hell are the police doing?
Well, you guys remember the video of the cops opening those barricades, right?
On the north side, yes. Yep.
And inviting people in and asking them politely to leave after about 15 minutes, to which the people left.
Several cops gave guided tours to some of the people.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. We'll see how that plays out.
Just a point of note, the definition for police state on Wikipedia is: a police state describes a state where its government institutions exercise an extreme level of control over civil society and liberties. There is typically little or no distinction between the law and the exercise of political power by the executive, and the deployment of internal security and police forces play a heightened role in governance. So where do we live?
Yeah.
We're there if you ask me.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Local Alabama Navy is already suggesting that the Delta variant of COVID-19 could impact the fall sports season, citing a doctor from the University of Alabama at Birmingham in an article titled, "Health Officials Say Fall Sports Could Be Impacted by the Delta Variant." Despite the CDC all but admitting the controversial COVID-19 vaccines are virtually useless at preventing the spread of COVID-19, local TV station WBRC asserts that health officials are desperately urging everyone to take the COVID-19 vaccine before the fall season, when they anticipate the Delta variant will spread to new heights. Pepe.
Great. I heard the Delta is the worst variant on campus. Thank you. May I have another? Thank you. May I have another? Thank you. May I have another?
God. I swear to God. Demon.
Wow. Well, all of this political insertion into sports has killed sports ball anyway. I haven't watched a game in a year and a half because I'm so tired of the crap. I'd like to propose a new series of sports for America. We need to regain our spines and our taste for a little bit of justice. And we need to institute the Tar and Feather League, or maybe the Wheel Breaking League. How about public floggings?
I'm in. Oh,
thank
great.
You. May I have another?
Exactly.
All right.
It's so exhausting. Why are we tolerating these local politicians? Get local people. Get in these people's faces. They live somewhere. They work somewhere. Go yell at them.
I am 101% like that's a thing. Agreeing with everything you're saying tonight, Demon. I really, really am. All right, guys.
Well, I don't know. Isn't that what happened on January 6th?
No. No, it's not.
I don't know. There was a lot of shouting going on.
We had dozens of representatives, quote, cornered. There were pictures of them cowering up in the seats. Not a single hair on their heads was touched. I don't remember a single video of a single representative backed into a corner by angry citizens. There were none. On the other hand, the Democrats, when they raided the Capitol building, I remember plenty of politicians being yelled at. I remember representatives and staff members being attacked at restaurants.
Now, Demon.
It's them.
Demon, to be fair, AOC felt very threatened.
I would love to take AOC through the entire 10-day SEER course, maybe even the C-level course, which is a month long, and just treat her like a POW for a week or a month. I would literally enjoy that. It would be a pleasure.
I'm going to quit poking at you. All right. All right, let's get a headline from Pepe. Take it away.
Oh, mute again. So at the beginning of the year, California will begin enforcing an animal welfare proposition approved overwhelmingly by voters in 2018 that requires more space for breeding pigs, as also egg-laying chickens and veal calves. National veal and egg producers are optimistic they can meet the new standards, but only 4% of the hog operations now comply with the new rules. Unless the courts intervene or the state temporarily allows noncompliant meat to be sold in the state, California will lose almost all of its pork supply, much of which comes from Iowa, and pork producers will face higher costs to regain a key market. California's restaurants and groceries use about 255 million pounds of pork a month, but its Californian farms only produce about 45 million pounds. Processors will need to design new systems to track California-compliant hogs and separate these premium cuts from standard pork that can serve the rest of the country. I'll have to wait for Pork World magazine to tell me what my thoughts on this should be. As a follow-up to last week's story about Californian gaming computer bans, Gordon Ma Ung of PC World set us straight in his recent article in which he strawman and ad hominems us into submission with the ironclad argument that PCs weren't banned then or now, just a few of them were, and the not-so-subtle quote, "Who can understand these regulations anyway, am I right?" Be prepared for Radio O'Reilly Piglet memes inbound from Blue Check Twitter any moment now.
You know, hey, this is a real thing. And actually, it's going around in our industry about a shortage. I don't know. Dean, what do you think?
They're going after the bacon, man. When are you going to get off your couch and do something about this? They're coming for your bacon.
That they
well,
are.
Well, you know, I think if it was an avocado shortage, I think that there would be a panic riot in California, guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There'd be handbags flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if lettuce was shorted or
kale, alfalfa sprouts?
Oh, God, kale. Don't speak that. All right, good job there, Pepe. Demon, let's get to what you got going on, my friend.
Well, it turns out that Karma is more of a bitch than Kathy Griffin is. Kathy Griffin announces she has lung cancer. "I've got to tell you guys something. I have cancer," Griffin began, a note posted Monday on her verified Instagram account. "I'm about to go into surgery to have a half of my lung removed," the note continued. "Yes, and I have lung cancer, even though I've never smoked." Griffin's doctors are very optimistic that the cancer is stage one and contained to her left lung, she said. But this happens to be coincidentally about a week or two after she got the death jab. So I'm really wondering if Kathy here isn't paying a little bit of karmic revenge upon herself for her behavior over the last couple of years, especially during the Trump administration where she held up a bloody severed Trump head and thought that was cute. Gets the jab, turns up with lung cancer. I'm sorry, I see a pattern here. You guys?
Oh, yes, right.
Go ahead, Pepe.
But remember, Griffin also proclaimed on Twitter that she had something to do this week, so she hoped Trump would go ahead and die when he got COVID.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dean, when I first saw this, I'm like, this B word's playing for sympathy. I mean, her career's in the toilet and has been since, you know, you mentioned the bloody head thing. So I don't know. I mean, I don't wish ill on anybody because you know what they say about karma. But I don't know. I am
merely observing karma at work, Jay, and I would like to point out that Kathy Griffin will find my sympathy for her in the dictionary between the words shit and syphilis.
I told you, wait for it, guys.
Well, she's not even getting a pass from Blue Check Twitter.
I noticed that, too.
She's not getting a pass from Blue Check Twitter. They're wishing her dead, too.
Oh, good Lord. Anyway, you know, she might have it. She might. Stage one, I mean, any cancer is bad, but stage one is usually fixable. Am I correct? I'm not a medical guy.
Well, it's just a measure of how far the disease has progressed. It's always better to catch it early, supposedly, but there's nothing that says catching stage one early will prevent you from getting more stage one or stage two or stage three.
Well, I don't think there's a stage 0.5, so I don't know. Anyway. All right, guys, great job.
Jay, have we lost you? Are you there?
I am here, but there's a little issue. On the other side, we have Big Big with Pele Farms and Factor D126. Grab you some Georgia Sweet Tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back. And here comes Facts with Demon 26. Take it away, Demon.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want to introduce you to the concept of propaganda in society, because we're seeing a lot of it. We're being hammered left, right, and center with the largest psychological operation that I've ever seen in my life, and I've worked some doozies. Most of it starts with everyone agrees that X, insert your cause here, is true. Everyone agrees that X is true. This is the first sign that you're being propagandized. The goal here is not to beat you into submission so much as it is to subdue you with shame and humiliation. They'll hammer everybody around you. They'll hammer you from church. They'll hammer you from school. They'll hammer you from work. They'll hammer you in Hollywood. We see it everywhere we look now. Everything has become propaganda. All of it. All of our advertisements. All of our movies. Everything our politicians say. Everything the media says. It's all geared to put you on, we'll use the vaccinations for this example because it's the most obvious and current one. Get the vaccination. We know it works. The science proves it. It's been tested. You can trust it. You need to trust the vaccine. Get the vaccine. Get the vaccine and we'll give you free donuts. You don't like free donuts? What's wrong with you? Constant bombardment, hoping to shame you into compliance. Learn to see what it is that is actually being put in front of your eyes. If you were being constantly exhorted, if you were being constantly pressured, if you were constantly being told that you are a bad person, if you don't comply and get that vaccination, you're being subjected to societal propaganda from a political machine that wants nothing more than your compliance. They do not have your best interests at heart. They are not interested in helping you. They are not interested in seeing you succeed or even live. All they want is your compliance. Everyone agrees that the vaccine is good. Everyone agrees that we all have to get the vaccine. The only way through this is to get the vaccine. Why are you vaccine hesitant? There's the shame. You should be ashamed of yourself that you're vaccine hesitant. You're being propagandized. You're being subjected to a psychological operation done on a much smaller scale with prisoners in a wartime situation. But if you go back and look at every single totalitarian regime in modern history in the 20th century, they all use the exact same method. They don't have to harm you. What they do is gin up a little bit of fear. The China virus, there's your fear. Now here comes the pressure through humiliation. Why won't you get the vaccine? Why are you hesitant to get the vaccine? Oh, you're just being recalcitrant. Shame on you. Think of the children. Indeed, think of the children. Because the vaccine. How do we know this? Because last year it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then a month. And then another month. And then another month. And let's close all of the businesses. You won't close your business. What a terrible person you are. Gosh, you're so selfish. More humiliation. They pile the humiliation on, hoping you'll break, hoping you'll fold. Here in Michigan, we had a Polish woman who grew up in the Soviet Union who did not fold. First thing they did was throw her in prison. She did get out rather quickly, fortunately, but it was a message to everybody else. Shame on you for supporting her. And if you try something like this, we'll throw you in jail too. Ladies and gentlemen, you are being subjected to a massive propaganda campaign. And we have seen here and there a school board in Arizona, a barber in northern Michigan, another hairdresser down in Texas, a gym owner in New Jersey. We have seen that if you push back, the state gets frightened. And they'll try to push back harder, but there's more of us than there are of them. Here's the thing about this kind of propaganda. If enough of you come together and turn this around and get on top of these politicians and these local bureaucrats and these local mayors and even the governors, and you start shaming them, guess what happens? Because more often than not, the people attempting to inflict this shame on you, to bring you into submission, they're more vulnerable to this form of shaming than you are. If you get together, if you band together, if you put aside your differences and focus on these little monkeys that are trying to shame you into locking your schools down, into locking your homes down, into closing your businesses, into putting masks on your children, into vaccinating the entire population with an untested drug that has 45,000 deaths that we know of so far. If you're willing to turn around and in huge numbers start shaming them, you'll discover that you can wield the exact same propaganda, but with greater effect, because there's only a few of them. And you've been allowing yourselves to be cowed by a handful of spineless, worthless, useless little weaklings who think they have power and can rule you. Strip their illusions from them. Start shaming them. Turn their propaganda around and dump it on their heads. You can run your own psychological operation, and that's how you do it. Numbers. Put your differences aside. Get up. Show up. And start shaming this tiny handful of weaklings who are ripping our country to pieces. Stop allowing yourself to be subjected to propaganda. See it for what it is. That's my soapbox for tonight. Gentlemen?
Well, Demon, you know, you wisely remind us very often about local elections and make a difference. Now, I'll admit, 20, 25 years ago, I was like, it's school board. It's city council. But it does start there.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
And it governors have a lot of power. And a lot of people don't realize this, but they sheriffs, elected sheriffs have a lot of power.
Yes. Jay, I'd like to slightly correct that statement of yours. Governors are granted a lot of power by the citizens who elect them. The governors have only that power which we grant them. That's all the power they have.
Point taken. Pepe,
as we've seen recently, that's not the only power that they wield, unfortunately.
I didn't catch that part. What, Pepe?
Unfortunately, that they may their power is supposedly limited by the people, but as we've seen recently, they wield much more power than they're entitled to.
Because we allowed it, though.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because in your point, Demon, we're just closing our eyes and saying, okay, whatever.
Yep.
You know,
we've been trained to be obedient and go along.
This two-week short the curve bullshit was the biggest, in my eyes, the biggest farce put on the American citizens. Go ahead, Pepe.
Oh, yeah. It was a bold-faced lie. Breaking news, Louisiana governor reinstates statewide mask mandate for everyone 5 and older and imposes other restrictions. And on CNN, Dr. Michael Ostrom is demanding that we know the cloth face coverings weren't very effective. We need to make everyone wear N95s.
Yeah, okay. Well, when they pay for that, I'll go for it. But, no, I had to make a somewhat tough decision at work today. Because I have, obviously in my business, I have both liberals and conservatives. And I have a few people that are really scared to death of the Delta variant. So I'm like, okay, do I say, because a private business can say you have to wear a mask. At least in Florida. I don't know about anywhere else. Do I make everybody get tested, which is now free? It's not now free in Florida. It's always been free in Florida. And I'm like, you know what? Let's meet in the middle, and we'll take everybody's temperature when they come in. Because I'm not going to tell – honestly, guys, I wear a mask over my mouth because I'm a mouth breather. But I'm not going to tell people they have to do something. I just don't think I don't like it. I mean, positive.
Anything beyond standard sanitary food preparation conditions is unnecessary.
Absolutely. No,
but as we know, you're not supposed to spit on raw food either, so I have no problem in, with kitchen personnel who choose to wear a mask.
Jay, if I may, from a leadership position, if I may, simply tell them you're responsible for your own health. If you feel sick, don't come to work. If you're uncomfortable, wear a mask. I'm not to mollycoddle you. I'm not here to baby you. I'm not here to babysit you. Make your own decisions.
Well, and then I got a forward from my owner, who I love to death, about a face mask 6 feet apart doesn't necessarily protect you. So I'm like, you know what? We'll take everybody's temperature. When they come in, I'll roll with that. And if they're over the 100.4, I think it is, then we'll make a call. So anyway.
Yeah, and that should, I mean, that has always been the case, especially in the food service industry. If you think you're infectious, you're not supposed to come to work.
Yep. Well, if you have nausea, throwing up, diarrhea in the food business, you're not supposed to come to work anyway. I mean, or a fever. So, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, guys, let's move on to Nick Vink with Pepe Farms. Pepe Farms, take it away.
The pandemic shell game continues as the summer of the animal health Delta variant is upon us. Normies now have a study they claim proves the Fauci ouchie is safe and effective, but let's look behind the curtains tonight on Big Farms Remembers. The six-month safety and efficacy study for the Pfizer-BioNTech mRNA gene jab was released last week and is being lauded as proof that all is well by blue checkmark Twitter. But does it really? Let us not forget that the entire scenario is suspect and based on a now known to be faulty PCR test that conflated influenza and SARS, and that the descriptive adjective COVID was knowingly used to diagnose and treat all respiratory disease as being a result of this new fictitious SARS virus. And never forget that the flu doesn't exist anymore. It's now all PIC, meaning pneumonia, influenza, and COVID. Watch the shells. Where's the bean? Now that we do have some data, at least we have a few questions answered. In the study, 44,060 were vaccinated with greater than one dose of either the jab or the placebo, and 98% received the second dose. Participants were 49% female, 82% white, 10% black African American, and 26% Hispanic Latinx. Median age was 51 years, had a BMI greater than 30, 21% had one or more underlying comorbidities, and 3% had baseline evidence of prior or concurrent SARS-CoV-2 infection. Latinx in a scientific study? Really? Anyway, the study continues. During the blinded control period, 15 jabbers and 14 placebo recipients died. During the open label period, 3 jabbers and 2 of the original recipients that then also received the gene jab after the unblinding died. So none of the placebo recipients died. Well, let me rephrase that. After they unmasked, none of the placebo recipients, all of the 14 placebo recipients that died within the 6 months of the study. The causes of death were balanced between the jabbers and the placebo groups, they claim. So what the fuck? Balanced, really? Let's take a look at the causes of death and how they balanced out. Of those with the jab, 18 total dead, and I'm going to murder most of these pronunciations, arteriosclerosis, COVID-19 pneumonia, whatever that is, cardiac arrest, congestive heart failure, emphysematous cholestasis, a bacterial infection, sepsis, septic shock, Shigella sepsis, another bacterial infection, and one mystery death. For the no jabbers, 16 dead, they had respiratory failure, aortic rupture, cancer, plain old regular COVID-19, I guess differentiated from COVID-19 pneumonia, dementia, and 2 unexplained or unavailable, stroke, liver disease, overdose, and pneumonia. Note that only cardiac arrest is shared between the jabbed and the unjabbed groups. The no jabs had, quote, normal deaths, and the jabbers all had known Alchi-related deaths, but the study supported by BioNTech and Pfizer considered them unrelated. Of these and other adverse events, 30% jab versus 14% no jab, the adverse events were tracked only up to 1 month after the second jab, for a total of around 6 months. 10 each of the two groups withdrew due to severe adverse effects, and 3 from the jab and 7 from the placebo left the study for life-threatening adverse effects. They have no safety data longer than 6 months. So did the jab stop anyone from getting COVID? Their claim is yes. Among the 44,486 evaluable participants, irrespective of their prior or current SARS-2 infection condition, 81 COVID-19 cases were observed among the vaccine and 873 among the placebo recipients. And they claim that corresponds to a 91% vaccine efficacy. So out of a study of 42,000 participants, with 50% of them taking the placebo and 21% with no comorbidity, during the study, this isn't counting after the 6 months, COVID cases were 0.37% for the jabbers and 4% for the no jabbers. Thus, the study claims a vaccine effectiveness of 91%, but in real life, it's a difference of less than 4%. You are 4% less likely to get the common coof if you take the experimental vaccine, not 90-something. It's the same old relative versus absolute difference sham. The relative difference is 90%, but in real life, it's 1 out of 100 versus 4 out of 100 of even testing positive for the common coof, let alone getting very sick, a condition with much less than a 1 in 100 chance of dying if you do get very sick. To put it in perspective, the U.S. 2018 death statistics showed a lifetime chance of 1 in 71 for dying of drug poisoning, 1 in 67 for poisoning, 1 in 98 for opioids. Heart disease, cancer, accidental deaths, stroke, Alzheimer's, and diabetes far outnumber PIC deaths, with heart disease and cancer at rates 10 times that PIC. I did find it interesting. I had to look up what drug poisoning was to see how it differentiated from opioids. It turns out that it's a regime euphemism for overdoses and fatal drug interactions. It's almost as if they have reclassified medical malpractice and drug overdoses into two separate categories, or else people might think there's an epidemic of it or something. The more you know. It can't be stressed enough. There's only safety data for 6 months. This report, quote, this report has several limitations. Duration of protection and safety data that could be collected in a blinded, placebo-controlled manner were limited by the ethical and practical need to immunize eligible initial placebo residents under EUA and according to public health authority recommendations. So after 6 months, they gave the control group the jab anyway. Now the unvaxxers are the only control group. The UK is now reporting a 60% rise in heart attack emergency visits over last year, and I think we all know what the long-term study will reap, all to avoid a 1 in 100 chance of a 1 in 100 chance of dying of a fake virus. There you go, Jay.
You know, Pepe, why is the CDC not pulling the trigger on approving this, these vaccines? What do you think?
Well, by regulation, they have to wait until the phase four trials are finished, and we're still only in phase three. So, you know, the plan is to have them all approved by 2023, come hell or high water.
Interesting. Demon, I didn't know some of these numbers that Pepe put out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a lot of this information, if people would just look, if they just open their eyes, it's part and parcel of the propaganda I just talked about. The numbers are there. People should be able to look at this and go, I'm not going to get this. And even if I do, my chances of dying are 0.007%. That's a 1/7,000th of a percentile of a chance. What is wrong with people today that they can't look at the data that's right there in front of their eyes and make a decision on their own? What's wrong with people?
You know, we're almost to the point of winning the lottery. Oh, my God, this just blows my mind.
The big thing took out of it is the rates that they're saying they found in this study don't match the current hospitalization reports of 50% more of the jabbed with hospital COVID. So it's not clear if those that are being hospitalized now were vaccinated more than 6 months ago. I don't think so. Not most of them.
Right. But, you know, and now we have this Delta strain, which
remember how they derived these genomes. The first one that all the PCR tests were based on was from a sample from a single person in China. And then this Delta one is from probably a single person in India. And that's how they can claim that it has a different genetic makeup. Because all they're doing is sampling the dead cell debris on a swab from the nasal mucus of people from different countries.
Right.
And the one thing we know is their genetic profile is going to be different.
And you know, Dima, today I had a friend ask me, he said, they're trying to make us go back in the house, aren't they? And
yeah.
I don't see the reason, but I'm kind of stupid sometimes. But are they just trying to tear America down to the floor?
Oh, yeah.
It's compliance, Jay. It's compliance. It's all about compliance. They're trying to, they being our current federal Marxist government, are trying to break our will as a population and get compliance from us. And I know there are people out there that are going to scream, oh, tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, but geez, oh, criminy, have you not been living through the last 19, 20 months?
Well, yeah, because it really can't be anything else.
Yeah, it's what's next is camps and boxcars. I guarantee it. I absolutely guarantee it. People are going to say, oh, conspiracy theory, this, that, and the other. Yeah, well, guess what? Pedophilia has been normalized, and we just lived through horrendous lockdowns, and huge swathes of our economy have been destroyed. And that was a conspiracy theory 2 years ago. So,
well, Pepe, I guess school shootings have taken a backseat to all this madness.
Well, they're now shooting the kids with vaccines, so I don't know, we're too far off.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Great job, Pepe. Amazing facts you bring every week. Okay, guys, let's get to final thoughts. Final thoughts, Pepe Barnes.
Well, after all that strange and unsettling news, all that's left for me is to thank Jay Demon and Sleepy BP and leave you with this thought about being human and being happy. If you really want to be happy, all you have to do is say, I am beautiful. So I want you all tonight to go and look in the mirror and say, Pepe Farms is beautiful. Good night.
God, I swear to God. Oh, BP, I hope you're resting well. Final boss, Demon 26.
Thank you, Stuart Smalley, Pepe Farms, for that insightful little bit of information there. I imagine BP has been taken by the couch monster. We hope to find him, hopefully not face down in the Everglades. Good night, everybody.
All right, guys. Thanks to my co-host, Pepe Farms, and Demon26. Thanks to our listeners. As without it, well, it just wouldn't be such fun. Pepe Farms, get us out of here.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle raged high. door.